Probably it's going to take the passage of time. That would be the most optimistic answer I can give you. I think we may be headed into very serious trouble here with the inflation getting out of control, and at the same time, the various factors impairing the economy. And that's I'll contend that we're already into a new recession, probably going to deepen, and but it's going to be an inflationary recession, and the chances are the inflation could be high and the economic contraction pretty severe. It's the worst of all worlds. The t system does eventually become self-righting, usually. This has the risk of moving towards very high inflation and a very deep inflation, sort of a hyperinflationary economic collapse down the road. It's a type of environment where, as an investor, I would look to hold physical gold. I mean, physically hold the gold, and because that will tend to retain its real purchasing power over time.
John Williams with Shadow Stats, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. The temperature dropped in Atlanta here, and I don't like the cold, so I'm looking at 3 months of cold. So, but
Oh
that's
my
okay. I'm in
If you don't mind my asking, where are you located?
Atlanta, Georgia, and so it just dropped a good 20 degrees of what I've been used to. So I'm looking at winter right now, but that's okay.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm just north of San Francisco, and we're having what they're calling a bomb cyclone. I've never heard of such a thing before, but it started up north of us, and we've had rain now for at least 5 days. I mean, they're looking for something closer to seven, and apparently there's a second bomb cyclone coming, and it's just raining and raining and cold, and it'll be interesting to see what it does to the local economy.
Right. Yeah, we'll see if that impacts inflation here. So, thank you so much for coming on. It's an honor. I've been a fan for many, many years, as long back as I can really remember. Some of the guests I've had on the show, from Mark Faber to Rick Rule, have specifically name-dropped you in conversations I've had online as well as offline with them. They're big fans of yours, and I really want to get your impression. And your thoughts, where are we at right now in terms of inflation and the CPI? And then I want to talk to you about what you think we're going into with the Trump administration. But let's start with where are we at right now?
Well, right now, you look at the headline Consumer Price Index as published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. In month of October, they reported that it was up year over year about at 2.6%. That was up from 2.4 in September, but that 2.4 is down from 2.5 back in August. My number runs significantly higher than that, and the reason it does is that starting back in the early 80s, there's a movement afoot by the government, or at least the Congress, to have the headline CPI lowered in its estimation. Katharine Abram was the She was the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics at the time, and I'm paraphrasing things here, was told by Newt Gingrich, who was heading the committee looking to get the finances straightened out. He said, gee, if you can just find a way to recalculate the CPI to bring it down, we may find ways to get more money to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they did. And it is Right now, I'm looking at the numbers I'm looking at are shy of 8 percentage points higher. I mean, looking at August, it's at 10.3. September 10.2, and October is up at 10.4. And that's the aggregate of the changes to the CPI that were made to reduce it over time going back to the 1980s. I just use the government's estimates of what they've changed and add them back in. It's that simple. I'm not recalculating, I'm not going out and resampling the CPI. I'm taking their numbers, but I'm taking them at their word as to what they're subtracting from the headline numbers to come up with what they have.
Got it. So where are we at right now with the CPI?
Well, it's again, I'm looking at it realistically at over 10%. And if people's salaries are being raised at an annual pace of 2.6%, you're finding that the average guy's not making ends meet as well as he thought he might. It's we're in a very weak economy, and we're the economy. The point I'm making on the inflation it's a lot higher. The economy's a lot weaker. Now, let me just look at what they're telling you today about the GDP. We're seeing strong economic growth, but it's not there. If you look at the headline gross domestic product, that's the broadest measure of the economy, as published by the government. It's the official measure of economic activity and what they'll use when they generally look at defining a recession, although they look at all the underlying series as well. But if that declines for a couple of quarters, they'll normally call that a recession. You have a circumstance where you're still seeing growth of over 3%. I think they just came out of the latest quarter, it's around 3.2 or 3 year over year percentage change. The problem is the underlying economic numbers that are better quality, the monthly numbers, such as retail sales, adjust that for the consumer price inflation, usually industrial production, housing starts, the cash freight index. Those are all, in terms of year-to-year change, they're up. They're not up. They're flat to minus. And the GDP should be flat to minus. And you're seeing weakness in the employment numbers. Both the unemployment and the payroll, there's all sorts of funny things that happen with the reporting there. And the GDP is a happy number. It's reported separately by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, and it's very, very heavily gimmicked. One of the things that you can look at is that, if you want to play with government growth numbers, anything you can do to bring down the headline inflation will help you, because the numbers get reported net of inflation in what they call real terms. So the adjusted numbers, if you're dividing by a lower inflation number, because of inflation's, excuse me. If you're dividing by a lower inflation number, you'll get a stronger GDP growth or real retail sales growth. But again, you take retail sales adjusted for inflation, you're negative year over year, negative to flat. Same thing with industrial production, where the GDP, which is very heavily orchestrated, is again up 3.4%. There's no real activity that's showing that. And I think what you're going to see in the next couple of quarters is that number is going to come down, and there's going to be some kind of a post-election administration change, where the numbers will start to fall off in terms of the official headline GDP as we get away from all the election hype.
When you say fall off, do you mean that you certainly expect that the statistics that they're looking at, they're going to be showing a significant slowdown?
We already have it in the monthly numbers, just the GDP, the gross domestic product,
right.
That's up there. I think the GDP is going to catch up with the underlying numbers, and you'll see that we're actually in a recession.
Wow. Okay, so let's. Wow. Okay, that's pretty big news. So the numbers will show that we're in a recession. My question really is then, are we seeing yet still sticky or higher inflation, yet low economic growth? And wouldn't that be a stagflationary period that we're in right now?
It's going to be worse than stagflation. It's going to be an actual contraction. It's going to be recession. The money that you go back to the pandemic. You have two major forces at work here. One is the Federal Reserve, and one's the federal government. The Federal Reserve is owned by the banking system. It has to keep the banking system afloat. And what the Fed did with its numbers as the pandemic hit, it said, "Oh my goodness, we have an inflation problem because the economy is overheating." What nonsense! There was no area of the economy that was overheating during the pandemic. But they said, "Well, it's overheating. We've got to raise interest rates." They didn't really need to raise interest rates to kill the economy to bring down inflation, which is the way they would. One of the factors they'd used to bring down the inflation, they raised interest rates because they're looking to stabilize circumstances in the banking system. In terms of the inflation that did follow, that was driven by the Fed's money supply. If you go to, say, the pandemic hit in March of 2020, at that time, the Fed pumped 30 years worth of normal monetary stimulus into the system to keep it from collapsing. 30 years. It's still there. They never took it out. And if you look at the level of money supply right now, it's the level of liquidity in the system is at a 57-year high. And that's still increasing, although they've been slowly trying to taper down the level of the money supply. It's still growing, and that's what's driving inflation. And what we're seeing with the inflation is that the underlying inflation also has been picking up. We've been seeing a slowing economy with higher actual inflation, and it's not a happy circumstance for consumers, but it's in many ways an offshoot of many distortions introduced to the system by the pandemic and the way both the government and the Federal Reserve responded. The Fed responded with the massive money supply creation. Federal government responded by increasing its spending. Well, everything that could be done here to create inflation was actually put into place to save the system. I mean, you want to save the system, but we're seeing the effects in the underlying real inflation, and there's nothing that's being done yet to bring that down. I mean, the Fed is not contracting its money supply. The federal the that's the Federal Reserve, federal government, its deficit spending is at an all-time high, and it's getting worse, and there's no containment of it. They're just increasing the debt, and that's just pumping the liquidity into the system, which, along with the extraordinary money supply out of the Fed and the liquidity provided by the Fed, is driving the inflation.
Yeah. So you really see more or less the same, if not things going up. I should say inflation and the money supply even increasing as we go into the new administration, correct?
Well, the money supply is independent of the
Right.
administration. That's determined by the Fed. And
Yeah.
now the Fed may have certain sympathies with different administrations, but the money supply, the Fed has to keep its banking system afloat. And they're what they're doing is aimed at providing adequate liquidity to the banking system. That's I don't see any change to that in terms of how the federal government's end changes with the administration. If it's depending on who wins it, you're still going to see an extraordinary federal deficit. It's difficult to pull back. I mean, there may be some efforts to pull it back, but that's going to continue as well. They need to keep the system afloat. So it's we're heading into to answer your question. I think we're heading into a very high inflationary period with a very weak economy, which is the worst of both worlds.
Yeah. So what does that look like exactly? High inflation with a weak economy. Is the Fed still trapped in a corner? What exactly do you think we do to come out of this or get out of this?
Probably it's going to take the passage of time. That would be the most optimistic answer I can give you. I think we may be headed into very serious trouble here with the inflation getting out of control, and at the same time, the various factors impairing the economy. And that's, I'll contend that we're already into a new recession, probably going to deepen, but it's going to be an inflationary recession. And chances are the inflation could be high and the economic contraction pretty severe. It's the worst of all worlds. The system does eventually become self-righting. Usually, this has the risk of moving towards very high inflation and a very deep inflation, sort of a hyperinflationary economic collapse down the road. It's a type of environment where, as an investor, I would look to hold physical gold. I mean, physically hold the gold, and because that will tend to retain its real purchasing power over time. If you look at my inflation numbers and the government's inflation numbers, we're looking at something like a 7 percentage point differential, 7 to 8 percentage point differential. What's happened recently with the price of gold, and I'd be happy to supply this to you and any of your listeners. I've plotted the price of gold over time against headline inflation going back, you know, say 100 years or so. And when you look at 1980, when the federal government redefined the way it calculates inflation, and I started publishing my estimate of inflation, I also estimated a plot of three things: plot of the price of gold, plot of the price of headline CPI inflation, and then after 1980, the plot of my estimate of where the CPI inflation would be net of all the gimmicks that they had put into it. What you'll find is that recently, as the price of gold has soared, where my number of inflation is now running much higher than the headline CPI. Gold is moving along with the headline CPI, and then in the last year, all of a sudden, it has just surged, and it has caught up with my CPI inflation year over year. So that's the, I take that as something of a confirmation that but my numbers have some validity there, because gold represents the real purchasing power of your currency.
Right. Yeah. Do you see gold then maintaining that level, that's that surge level, if you would, of upward trajectory?
Over time and on average, the thing is that it's gold also gets heavily manipulated and intervened with by central banks and governments. I mean, there's a reason it held low for quite a while there below. It kept up with the headline CPI, but it didn't start taking off with the actual CPI until just recently, but it very quickly has caught up. It'll probably go beyond even my numbers. To the extent the dollar gets fully debased, the more the dollar gets debased, the more gold presumably will rally. It can be intervened with by the central banks at any time. So you have volatility, but what I would look to do is, again, hold the physical gold over time. Say hold it, I mean, I'm not in a, I wouldn't, I mean, you can put some in a safe deposit box if you want, but I would physically hold it in a sock drawer or something like that, because when things get really hairy here with the markets and the and inflation, you don't know what the government's going to do. It may look to confiscate it. It certainly is going to try and do whatever it can to suppress its price. But it is a barter element in a very hyperinflationary or very very inflationary. So I call it hyperinflationary yet, but highly inflationary environment, and then with the risk of the hyperinflation, it'll save your neck. It'll retain its real purchasing power against a fully debased currency, which we're increasingly moving towards with the U.S. dollar. So that
Right.
I know this sounds rather radical, but it's the best thinking I can give you. I've been looking at it for years, and all of a sudden we're beginning to see a big divergence in the headline versus inflation and the actual inflation, the way it used to be calculated. That's accelerating, and you're also beginning to see an acceleration in the price of gold. The price of gold is holding its value over time. You say, wow, look at the price of gold. But if you know, that's the difference there is what you've lost in the purchasing power of your dollar.
Let me ask you, do you see all of the countries in this together, meaning that they're all debasing their currencies at the same time, or is that something you can comment on?
It's the US dollar is the world's reserve currency. And I'm basically looking at the US dollar. It's going to be a common problem with many currencies. Anyone that any currencies that are, you know, have been debasing themselves here. There's some currencies that are likely to do somewhat better, such as the Swiss franc, but they have all sorts of funny regulations on their and how their currency can be handled and gold related to it. What I'm looking at here is a risk that you could get some actual social disorder, a disruption to normal commerce and such, as the inflation numbers get out of control here. And where the physical gold can give you an anchor, it preserves the purchasing power of whatever you put into it, and it can save your neck in a real bad inflation. You can get down to, you can talk of a barter circumstance, gold, and maybe gold as a barterable element, but it also has monetary value that you can work through. It's the type of thing that can keep food on your table in a very difficult time if the economy is in some kind of an inflationary collapse. And
Right.
I see that as a risk, real risk.
Yeah, no, I get it. So, let's take a step back real quick and then we'll end on this. You see the economy slowing, yet high inflation, and I would agree with you, or higher inflation, with perhaps going into a hyperinflation scenario. Do you think the Fed is going to cut with this slowdown, or will they be forced to cut? I know they've already cut, but will they be forced to flood the system with more, even more money during the slowdown?
Yes, I think they will. They have to, and it's because they want to keep the, it's they don't want to, it's not they want to create a lot of money and create inflation. They're trying to keep the banking system afloat. They're owned by the
Right.
banks. If you lose
Yeah.
the banking system, you don't have a Fed, and
Right.
you have the other system. So the Fed is doing what it can to keep the banking system as stable as possible, and it'll do whatever it has to do to keep that banking system afloat. And that will involve further infusion of liquidity into the system, I would imagine. And what they're doing with the interest rates will tend to move with inflation. It is there is a market element there, and the Fed can artificially suppress it, but the way the economy is going now, under normal circumstances, the Fed would have cut interest rates very sharply, and they haven't here. They have moved it some, and now they're hemming and hawing on that. That's that the hemming and hawing and the reticence is aimed at what they need to keep the banking system healthy. That's their primary concern. Beyond that, they can then work on getting the inflation down. And to get the inflation down, what they have to do is cut back on the money supply.
Yeah.
And but they're not doing that. They're still, again, it just it's just explosive, and that's because they need the liquidity in the banking system. So it's a banking system that's. It's a relationship to the banking system and the fact they've got to keep the banking system afloat that's driving their policy. It's more so than what's needed for the underlying economy. What's needed for the underlying economy, of course, also helps the banking system. But the banking system has a real crisis. And that's
Got
what's
it.
driving the current Fed policy.
Yeah, got it. Okay, I think we'll end on that, John. If people want to reach out to you or do business with you, and if they're fans of your work as I am, how do they get in touch with you?
They can send me an email, John Williams, all one word, at shadowstats, all one word, .com. I have a website, shadowstats.com, and you can go to it and you'll see a lot of the stuff that I cover. But my website collapsed a little over a year ago. I've been doing this for 20 years, and our web host of 20 years went out of business with very little notice. And I moved to put the website up on a new web host and found that our program was so antiquated it wouldn't work well on the web host. So I've left the www.shadowstats.com site in place. It's got 20 years worth of writings and a lot of background on the economy. What I'm doing right now is that we're looking to rebuild the website. Is I'm sending out the same information that's on this website, but fully updated to subscribers with emails that link to the latest commentary and to the alternate data files. And I publish alternate estimates on the CPI, the GDP, the unemployment. And the money supply.
Got it. Well, I
And
will
that's
link.
so, I mean, that's anybody wants to subscribe, just send me an email, and I'll be happy to set you up. We have a 6-month subscription at $89, a full year subscription at $175. But what I'm doing right now is that I'm offering a special. Anyone who wants to subscribe for a full year, I'll give them a complimentary second year.
Okay,
And
excellent. I will link to all of this in the show notes below this video and on the podcast.
okay.
John,
And also,
I want to thank you so much for your time. I do love that you come on, and I'd love to have you on again very soon.
anytime, Andy, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, and Always happy to talk.
My pleasure. Thanks, my friend.